Welcome to the Dog Talk Show. I'm your host, Julie Forbes. You're listening to Alternative Talk, 1150 AM radio. Welcome, Eric.
Hey, good afternoon, Julie. How are you?
I'm doing all right.
Keeping cool? Calm, cool, and collected?
I'm sick of your abundant sunshine, Eric.
Sorry about that. Yeah. I'll try and sprinkle in some rain here one of these days.
Yeah, everyone's just freaking out. It's so hot.
Yeah, that is the seems to be the consensus that... Well, we're sick of the heat around here. I know there's probably a few people from Arizona going, it's about time, you know.
Yeah, but, really. This is nothing.
Those of us that have lived in the Northwest for a long time are going, oh my gosh, yeah. The earth is hurtling towards the sun.
Oh,
something's,
it's brutal.
Something's happened. Yeah.
It's brutal. So today we have Dr. Darla Ruers back on the show, holistic veterinarian.
Beautiful.
Veterinary acupuncturist. Talking about everything having to do with dogs and heat.
Very good.
Yes.
Now we're talking about the weather, the heat, not dogs in heat, right?
Well, funny you should mention that, Eric, because my trivia questions today are about dogs in heat, as in the estrus cycle.
Ooh, okay. Well, it'll be a learning experience
yes,
for
it
all
will.
Of us, as it always is.
Yes, it will. So as per your request, I made the questions a little bit harder.
Right on.
But they're they are multiple choice or true and false, so people get a good
they
shot
got a
at 50, getting 50 the,
yes,
they do.
Yep. Okay, well, very good.
So we're going to be because of this heat. I can't wait to give away the Furminator brush to a lucky caller. These brushes to help relieve some of these thick coated dogs of their undercoat. These brushes are just wonderful in getting the getting that dead hair out. So that will be the first fabulous prize that we give away.
Awesome.
And the second fabulous prize is Arc Naturals, a joint rescue treat.
Ooh.
That has glucosamine and chondroitin and all sorts of good stuff from Arc Naturals. So I have a big bag of that. It's like a jerky treat with a joint support built in.
Very good.
Yeah. So second segment, we will be doing trivia questions. So stay tuned. That number to call is 425-373-5527. That's 425-373-5527 or toll free in Western Washington, 888-298-5569. So we'll be doing that trivia, call-in trivia, the second segment of the show. So stay tuned.
I'm looking forward to it.
Good. Eric's going to learn all about doggy estrus.
You know, when I woke up in the morning, I said, you know, today I really want to find out about dogs in heat.
Well, you do learn something new every day. So I'm going to New England next week.
All right. Going to have some chowder while you're back there?
Chowder.
In England?
Yeah.
Going to have some maple syrup?
I am from the Boston area, so I'll be headed back back
lobster.
There for the East Coast. Yeah. And I had a friend actually ask me a very interesting question, and I thought maybe I would ask you the question, Eric, because if you don't mind me putting you on the spot, because I thought it was a rather funny question.
Okay.
Eric, why do they call New England New England?
Because there was an old England and then people came and found another? I don't know.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah.
People, the pilgrims landed on Plymouth Rock, which
right.
is in Massachusetts, so they named the area New England because they were from England.
Well, very good.
It would seem logical, right?
Uh-huh.
I thought it was kind of a funny question, but I'm from the area, so maybe not, you know. Why do they call it New England? I was
right.
like, because they were from England?
Yeah.
Mm. Anyway, not dog related. Okay. However, I do have
I thought there was a joke that was going to happen.
Well,
there,
the joke was kind of the question.
Very good.
Yeah.
Well, I am still wondering why they call Newcastle Newcastle.
I don't know.
Here in Washington, and there's no castle.
I'm sure there's a good reason.
New or old.
Maybe there was. No.
I'm doubting that.
That's all right. Well, I do have a Boston Terrier question as well as part of the trivia. So we'll tie in New England also in addition to heat. this week on the Dog Talk Show.
Very good.
I finally learned how to update the podcast section on the Dog Talk Show website.
All right.
By myself. Well, I didn't learn by myself, but I can now do it by myself finally. So all of the shows are updated and archived.
So we can teach Julie new tricks.
Yes, you can.
Well, very good.
Takes a long time, though, let me tell you.
I hope you got some positive reinforcement.
Yes, I did. Well, it's done. Okay. Very proud. So the podcast section is now updated on the Dog Talk Show website, which is www.dogtalkshow.com. And you just click on the podcast tab, and all of our wonderful shows are right there. Just with the click of a button, you can listen and it'll start. And all of the guests are also listed if we have a guest on the show so that you can see who was on. So if you're looking for perhaps Missing Pet Partnership, that show where we talked with Kat Albrecht, the founder of Missing Pet Partnership, where they train scent tracking dogs to find lost pets, you could listen to that show.
Classic edition.
You could listen to the interview with Shane McDougall, producer and director of Wiener Takes All, a documentary about national wiener dog races. Very funny documentary.
Which reminds me, I got to put that on my blockbuster queue because I still haven't seen it yet.
Yeah, it's so funny.
But it looked like a great movie, and it was really fun hearing the inside scoop about how that was made.
Yeah.
And the controversy or controversy.
Yes.
I'm getting ready for my trip to England, sorry. The controversy that actually created a little bit, or maybe not the movie, but the idea of racing wiener dogs.
Yeah.
Created some controversy
well,
in the wiener dog community.
Yes, so. Absolutely. Very much lots of drama going on. If you've ever seen the movie Best in Show, it's kind of like a real-life version of that. So, all of the past shows, we've had really wonderful interviews with authors and founders and directors of programs that are wonderful. And we've also had shows where we've had callers, listeners call in with questions about training or behavior or nutrition and have answered their questions on air. So you can go and find any of those shows. And the next step for the Dog Talk Show is to hit iTunes, which will be happening hopefully within the next month. So that'll be cool too. But they are all available on the website, www.dogtalkshow.com. And on the website, you can see our cool logo with Stanley the dog on the logo there at the top of the page. And that is what our car stickers look like. We have car stickers available that are waterproof, weatherproof, you can put on your car. If you would like a sticker, send me an email and I would be happy to send you one for free.
I bet there's even a place on the website where they can send you the email right there.
There is, yes. You can go to contact or you can just email me directly, host@dogtalkshow.com, and I will be happy to get one out to you. So check it out. Very cool. So one of the things about heat that I wanted to just mention again is riding in cars. And we'll talk more about this with Dr. Ruers when we come back with her during the second half of the show. But I've been noticing that my air conditioner in my car with this kind of heat, with the sun beating down, it definitely takes the edge of the heat off. But it's still quite hot. It's still kind of hot in there, especially if the sun is hitting my skin directly.
Uh-huh.
And one thing that I've noticed with, because I have a wagon and my dogs ride in the way back of the wagon part.
Do you call it the wagon wagon?
The wagon wagon, yep.
Since you got the dogs in the back.
Yeah, their tails are wagon. And the sun sometimes beats in there, and I wonder how well the air conditioning makes it back to them.
Mm-hmm.
And, if that sun is just beating in on them, if it even, they're probably still quite hot. So with this brutal heat, just really, really be careful about the dogs. If they're in the car with you, that it's cool where they are in the car. If they're way in the back, make sure the air conditioning's reaching them back there and that the sun isn't beating in on them, and to not leave them in the car for any length of time, because
dogs die in hot cars.
It really doesn't take long at all. I mean, minutes. It can happen where they can have irreparable brain damage from heat. So just really, really being careful, making sure, of course, that dogs always have access to fresh water and that you're keeping them cool. I'm noticing with the dogs that I'm working with right now with training, they're just moving really slow, as am I. So just being very careful about that. So when we come back from break, we are going to do some call-in trivia, and we're giving away another Furminator brush, which is an excellent prize. If you have a dog with a thick coat or just that sheds a lot, this brush does a really wonderful job of getting that hair out. So we are giving away a Furminator brush when we come back from break. So give us a call if you want to get in line for trivia, even before I announce the question. 425-373-5527. That's 425-373-5527. Or toll free in Western Washington, 888-298-5569. And we're going to do some multiple choice questions about dogs in heat, meaning the estrus cycle, female dogs in heat, in honor of this brutally hot, abundant sunshine that we're having. So we'll be back in just a few minutes. You're listening to The Dog Talk Show, an evolved perspective on life with dogs. Sweet shoes, my baby blues.
Do you have an injury, old or new, that won't heal? Are you fighting a cold or illness you can't kick? Do you feel like you've tried everything and are still struggling to find wellness and balance in your physical health? Have you been unimpressed with acupuncture in the past? For over a decade, Robert Meduzia has been making a difference for people who thought they had exhausted their options. Don't settle for pain and illness. Call 425-828-6190. That's 425-828-6190. Again, 425-828-6190. The Acupuncture and Sports Clinic of Kirkland. Heal faster, play longer. The Natural Pet Pantry offers everything you need for feeding your pet a raw food diet. Most health issues pets face today are a result of poor diet. The Natural Pet Pantry makes raw, cooked, and custom meals for your pets, all prepared locally using only grade A meats and vegetables. Located in stores around the Puget Sound, the home delivery is available from Stanwood to Gig Harbor. Visit naturalpetpantry.com or call 206-248-1079 for more information on how to add health and longevity to your beloved pet's life. That's naturalpetpantry.com.
I'm Joy Turner, host of Talk With Your Animals, now on Thursdays at 1 p.m. I take your calls and talk with your animal companions about anything you'd like to know from them. You can also talk with your loved ones, both human and animals, on the other side. Tune in to Talk With Your Animals Thursdays at 1 with me, Joy Turner. Thanks for listening.
Is your pet suffering from allergies, cancer, arthritis, back pain, or digestive upset? The Holistic Animal Clinic treats these problems and more using holistic veterinary medicine and acupuncture to bring your pet to health. Dr. Masami Seplo's treatment supports the body's natural ability to heal itself, are non-invasive and highly effective. If your pet doesn't tolerate medication or nothing you've tried is working, visit theholisticanimalclinic.net or call 206-723-3809 to make an appointment. That's www.holisticanimalclinic.net, 206-723-3809.
Urban Beast. Fresh, modern, fun. Seattle's destination for all your pet needs. Located in the South Lake Union neighborhood at 217 Yale Avenue North, directly across from the REI flagship store. Urban Beasts features unique accessories such as toys, beds, collars, leashes, and more. They have a great assortment of healthy food and yummy treats for the pets you love. Open 7 days a week and offering free parking in the Alley 24 garage. Come see what the Beast is all about.
Write it down, shout it loud. Alternative Talk, 1150 AM. Now, wasn't that fun?
Hot dog jumping for Albuquerque.
Very hot dog jumping frog.
Jumping Frog. Oh,
Albuquerque,
wow.
Yes.
Oh, that makes sense.
Right.
Thank you, Eric.
That's the king of rock and roll.
Who?
Prefab Sprout is the band, but the song was the king of rock and roll. But It's one of the few songs I know that has the words hot dog in it. Mm. So, you know.
That's not an actual just dog song. That's kind of weird.
Well, it does talk about hot dogs.
It does.
It. Yeah.
Yeah. Well done. I can always count on you to find the appropriate song. Ghostbusters song for Fleabusters. That
right.
That was a good one.
Thank you.
Yep.
You know, with the heat, fleas seem to be more prevalent than normal during this time of year. Do you find that's the case?
Well, typically in the spring.
Yeah.
But, you know, I've heard that fleas need moist warmth to survive.
Okay.
So I've heard this is actually a great opportunity with this level of heat to cut the grass really short so that, or just cut the grass at all so that the sun hits the earth and really dries it out so that if there's fleas out in the environment that they will die.
That's a great tip, and I'm glad to hear you say that that the summer doesn't necessarily bring out more fleas, that they tend to come out in the spring, because I made it through the spring, and I've made it through, you know, this much of the summer so far with no flea attack this year.
Good.
I have two cats, and, you know, sometimes they get the fleas, and so far this year, looking very good, so
good.
I think we might have made it.
Well, let's hope you didn't just jinx yourself.
If not, then I'm calling flea busters, of course.
That's right. Good. Yeah, don't treat the animal with a harsh chemical. Best to treat the environment instead, since that's where fleas spend half their life cycle.
There you go.
And I think it's technically still flea season, but it sort of starts in the spring as it starts to get warm.
Well, I'm just thinking that it probably won't get it this far into flea season.
Well, you never know.
My fingers are crossed anyway.
Yep. Keep your paws crossed.
Yes.
All right. So we have some trivia questions. So call in now, 425-373-5527, or toll free in Western Washington, 888-298-5569. And this is for a Furminator brush. These are very, very good brushes for dogs and cats in getting a lot of that hair out. It's the most effective thing that I've found as far as brushes go for getting the hair out.
Perfect for this time of year.
Indeed. So the question is about the flea cycle. I mean, not the flea cycle.
We just talked about the flea cycle.
The heat cycle.
All right.
Dogs' heat cycle. Female dogs' heat cycle, also known as the estrus cycle. Dogs have a high chance of getting pregnant while they are in their heat cycle. Now, this is for dogs that are not spayed.
Right.
So dogs that still have their reproductive organs, female dogs that still have their reproductive organs, will go into heat. And they go into heat approximately every 7 months after they hit adolescence or puberty for dogs, which is actually somewhere between 7 months and a year old. Usually they hit their first heat cycle if they haven't been spayed. So which one of these is not a common symptom for a dog in heat? Which is not a common symptom of a dog in heat? A, increase in urination. B, hair loss. Or C, male dogs follow them like a magnet.
Now, one of these things.
One of these things is not.
Not.
A common symptom.
A common symptom.
Of a female dog in heat. Estrus cycle.
Okay, let's hear those options one more time.
A, increase in urination.
Mm-hmm.
B, hair loss.
Mm-hmm.
C, male dogs follow them like a magnet.
I think I know the answer to this, but hopefully one of our listeners knows the answer and will give us a call right now at 425-373-5527. That's 425-373-5527 or toll free 888-298-KKNW. That's 888-298-5569. And again, we're giving away a Furminator brush, which, as you know, in this heat, dogs are trying to keep cool, too. So
absolutely.
They would love to be calmed with a Furminator, I think.
Absolutely. And we will send that to you. This is our last Furminator brush to give away for a while. And it's a wonderful, wonderful prize. They are not cheap out in the retail stores. So if you know the answer to which one of these is not a common symptom of a dog in heat, female dog in heat, A, increase in urination, B, hair loss, C, male dogs follow them like a magnet. Give us a call and we will take your answer and hopefully you will get it right.
Yeah. And if not, then I'm going to answer this and win that Furminator. So you better call people.
That's right. So,
because I want it.
So, you know, Boston Terriers?
Not personally, but I've heard of them.
They're like a little, like it's called brachycephalic. So that means a dog that has like a pushed in nose, like a pug or a bulldog or a Pekingese. Boston Terriers are brachycephalic as well.
Okay.
And they're black and white. Typically, a lot of them have like a tuxedo markings.
You got to look sharp in Boston.
That's right.
Sorry, and this New England accent is getting worse and worse.
Clearly, you're not from New England.
That's right. I can do the chata pop, but beyond
that,
I
don't know. Even that, Eric.
I'm trying.
So, Boston Terriers, I had a caller a couple weeks ago who answered a question that was about which one of these breeds is not actually in the terrier group.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that was the question. And the answer was actually Boston Terrier, because even though they say Boston Terrier, it's actually not in the terrier group.
Okay.
And I have another trivia question.
All right.
Which is, did the Boston Terrier originate in Boston?
That's so one I don't know the answer to.
It's not a dog that is in the terrier group, even though terrier is in its name.
Right.
It's called a Boston Terrier. Did it actually originate in Boston?
Is this dog a complete misnomer, I guess, is the question.
Well, we'll find out. So if you know the answer to that question
and we're looking for a yes or no on that one.
That's a yes. True or false, or yes or no, did the Boston Terrier originate in Boston? You can give us a call, 425-373-5527. That's 425-373-5527. Or toll-free in Western Washington, 888-298-5569.
Very good.
Yes.
We'll call in now.
Furminator, Furminator, Furminator. And I have a lot of other heat questions, Eric, about this one I'll just ask you.
All right.
How long does the heat cycle last for a dog? This is multiple choice.
Well, I'm guessing less than 7 months. I'm gonna just take it. Are you going to give me the choices?
What is that? Deductive reasoning? Is that what that's called?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
So it happens about approximately, and it varies with individuals, but happens approximately every 7 months. And
right.
The heat cycle lasts, is it 2 weeks, 1 month, or 3 months?
I'm going to say 1 month.
That would be wrong.
Oh.
That would be wrong, Eric. It's actually 3 months.
Stupid! You're so stupid!
That's what happens when I get the questions wrong.
Oh. So
how long was that again?
It's actually last 3 months.
3 months?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
That's a long time.
Yep.
Well, I can see why they recommend that you get your dog spayed.
Neutered. I'm glad that human estrus cycle does not last that long. All right.
No comment.
Looks like we have a caller on line one to answer the trivia question.
Okay. Let's go ahead and bring him on.
Hello.
Hi, Julie. It's Priscilla.
Hi, Priscilla.
Hi. I'm going to answer your heat on the dogs.
The heat question?
Yes, I believe it's B, hair loss. It's not a sign of it.
It's not.
Oh.
Do you have another guess?
The increased urination.
Oh, actually, haha! I was kidding. No, it is hair loss. Hair loss is the one that is not. I got the question mixed up. You are right. And actually, hair loss is a symptom oftentimes after dogs give birth. or during pregnancy they can lose their hair, but not not during heat cycle.
So, yeah.
Congratulations.
So congratulations, Priscilla.
Thank you.
You just won yourself a Furminator brush.
And I will put it to good use. Not for me, for my dogs.
I bet.
What kind of dogs do you have?
Well, I have labs, and they'll enjoy it. They have a nice little undercoat that they can get rid of.
Yeah. What color are your labs?
One yellow, one black.
One yellow and one black. Excellent.
And there's Cinderella, so it's like Cinderella.
Oh, cute. Cute.
Yeah. Yeah.
And do you happen to know whether the Boston Terrier originated in Boston?
I do not think it did.
It did.
Oh, mm-hmm. That's correct. Okay.
At least part of the name is an accurate representation of the dog, since they're not actually in the Terrier group.
Are they in the toy group?
I think they're in the non-sporting.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. And they originated in the stables of Boston, from what I read, as a fighting breed. So, there you go.
Oh, thank you.
Well, we will get that Furminator brush out to you, Priscilla. Thanks for calling in.
Oh, thank you.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
And thanks for playing Dog Talk Show Trivia.
Dog Trivia.
So she didn't get the bonus question, but she did get the first question.
Even
so
though
she is
I told
winner.
Her that she got it wrong. She did get it right. Hair loss is the symptom that is not common for...
So you don't win the prize because you got it wrong.
I did. I did.
So send that on to Priscilla.
I get nothing.
That's right.
So we are going to be back in just a few minutes with Dr. Darla Ruers of Ancient Arts Veterinary Acupuncture to talk more about dogs and heat, meaning temperature. Because of this hot weather, there's actually quite a bit to know about how to avoid heat problems and also how to recognize a dog that's having serious issues with the heat and what to do if they do get heat stroke. So we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back in just a few minutes with the Dog Talk Show, an evolved perspective on life with dogs. This is Julie Forbes, dog training, behavior, and nutrition specialist, and owner of Sensitive Dog, thoughtful guidance for you and your dog. If your dog needs basic obedience training, a behavior evaluation, or food consultation, I can help you. Call me at 206-372-7399 or visit my website, www.sensitivedog.com. I teach group obedience classes, in-home lessons, and evaluations, and a two-week intensive training program called Higher Education. Again, I'm Julie Forbes, Seattle's dog behavior training and nutrition specialist, www.sensitivedog.com.
Camley Electric Incorporated is a full-service electrical contractor. From simple home repairs to full remodels, new construction, and small commercial projects, our qualified electricians do it all. We pride ourselves on our workmanship and professional standards, delivered with value in mind. Located in historic Ballard, Camley Electric serves the greater Seattle metropolitan area. Licensed, bonded, and insured. Camley Electric welcomes all inquiries about your electrical needs. Visit the website KemleyElectric.com. That's K-E-M-L-Y Electric.com.
Do you have legal questions? Need to know where to turn?
Hi, this is Rick Gregrick, your host of Northwest Legal Compass.
Northwest Legal Compass will address your questions on a variety of legal topics, including estate planning, asset protection, real estate and business planning, and more. The legal and accounting staff of Gregrick & Associates are dedicated to providing you with superior legal and tax services. Their integrated counsel is geared to the achievement of your goals.
Visit us on the web at rjglegal.com.
Be sure and tune in every Friday at noon here on Alternative Talk 1150.
Do you want to improve your health, take less medicine, or avoid medication at all? The naturopathic physicians at the Institute of Complementary Medicine, with over 60 years of experience, will help you on natural, practical solutions for better health. Ready for your annual checkup, feeling stressed or anxious, or have a chronic problem like allergies, diabetes, or sleep issues? Call 206-726-0034 or go to www.icmedicine.com to schedule an appointment. We're located on First Hill in Seattle, and most insurance is accepted. 206-726-0034. icmedicine.com. Natural medicine at its best.
1150KKNW.com, your connection to Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Welcome back to the Dog Talk Show, an evolved perspective on life with dogs. You're listening to Alternative Talk, 1150 AM. And we are back with Dr. Darla Ruers of Ancient Arts Veterinary Acupuncture. Welcome to the Dog Talk Show.
Hello, thank you.
Hello. Welcome back, I should say.
Thank you. Yeah. Thanks for having me again.
So we are going to chat it up about a different kind of doggy heat, actual temperature.
Hot topic.
Yes, it is. And there's a lot of, I mean, there's actually so much information around the issue as far as prevention and also signs to recognize and some kind of interesting little tidbits. But I guess the first thing would be, you know, can you talk about how dogs' bodies regulate temperature? Because it's different from ours.
Sure. Well, they don't sweat on their bodies all over like we do. They sweat a little bit out of the pads of their feet, but really not much. So most of their cooling happens through panting.
Mm-hmm.
And so when they are breathing out of their nose, they're maintaining more of their internal warmth. But when they're breathing out of their mouth, then they're letting off a lot of heat, a lot of warmth. So that helps cool them down, and then that evaporates the moisture in their mouth. So they definitely need to be taking in more water when they're panting a lot.
Hmm. So the cooling actually happens through moisture evaporation rather than, like, through hot air through their breath, or like, I know that they cool through panting, but so it's through moisture evaporation, just like how we sweat.
Yeah, I think it happens both ways. So the temperature change also, and as well as if they actually have a thick coat and they're maintained at a nice, comfortable, cool temperature, that air insulation will actually also help too. So they can lose warmth through their skin, but through their skin is not through sweating. That's just what they call convection, I think, through the transfer of heat from different temperatures.
Got it.
Yeah, but through their mouth, the evaporation component has a lot more to do with it.
Okay. So if the dog was, you know, didn't have much insulation and then was put into like an air-conditioned room, then
right,
they would get cooled through the skin. But
sure,
as far as the body regulating, they don't sweat all over like we do.
Definitely not.
Okay.
Sometimes you'll see the little sweaty paw prints, though, if they get nervous in the vet clinic. Sometimes you'll see those. It's pretty cute.
So they do sweat through their paws.
Mm-hmm.
And don't they have scent glands on their paws or something where that's how kind of how they mark, like after they go to the bathroom, if they kind of like kick the dirt back, are they laying down scent, or is that...
Oh, that's a good question. They definitely have a lot of musk around their anal glands.
Oh. Well, that's a different show, Darla.
Yes.
Don't we all?
Yeah. So, okay, so they really only sweat through their paws, which I can imagine really only does so much as far as regulating the entire body.
Oh, yeah.
Right. And dogs, like I was talking about Boston Terriers earlier, dogs with that are brachycephalic, meaning the pushed-in faces.
Mushy faces.
Yeah.
Like short noses.
Pugs and bulldogs and Boston Terriers and those guys have a harder time with it. Isn't their breathing compromised?
Oh, yeah. A lot of them have really narrow nostrils, first of all.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, sometimes they'll actually do a little surgical correction of that if it's really bad. They tend to have a really sharp curve in their windpipe.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of them have what they call elongated soft palate, meaning mm-hmm. that the upper roof of their mouth
mm-hmm.
has an extra long flap in the back, which can also impede airflow.
Mm. So even a harder time regulating body temperature.
Triple whammies.
Wow.
Yes.
Okay. And now I've talked about, I had a question for you, which you answered, and because I had heard that dogs, because like, you know, especially in this kind of heat, when you see like a chow chow or Malamute or some, you know, Akita or some dog that has like a really, really, really thick, dense coat, it's just like, oh, how are these dogs even, you know, surviving in this kind of heat. But doesn't that thickness of the coat actually insulate the body from heat as well as cold?
Right. The analogy that you might think of is, think of a well-insulated house. Mm. It's easier to keep it nice and cool inside or nice and warm, depending on what you need, if given the right circumstance to begin with.
Yeah, I mean, it would make sense that it's shielding them from the environment, regardless whether the environment is hot or cold.
Yeah, it takes longer to change to the external temperature, regardless of what it is, as long as they're not extremely obese or having other medical conditions.
Right. I mean, you probably still wouldn't want them in direct sunlight and all that kind of stuff, right?
Some of them will still sunbathe, and it's surprising how many of them will, but certainly a little goes a long way.
Yeah. My dachshund did that yesterday. She went outside and lay down in the grass in the sun, and I was like, are you crazy?
Oh, it feels good on the joint.
Huh.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. Well.
A little vitamin D.
Yeah. And you said also, too, about how the insulating, you know, whether or not it's a good idea to shave a dog, and that you said that that kind of depends on body fat. So does that mean if the dog has body fat, then that's good, or because it's further insulating, or that it's bad?
Well, it can go either way, again. If they're, for example, if they're having kidney insufficiency where they're staying more dehydrated chronically so they don't adapt to the temperature change very well, it might be beneficial for them, especially if they're getting matted. That gets painful. Mm. So there's a lot of other factors.
Mm-hmm.
But in general, if they're healthy and they're lean, probably best to keep their nice insulating coat.
Mm-hmm. And would that be for just for dogs with super, super thick coats, or shaving a dog that has kind of just a normal coat?
I think that if they have just a normal short coat, it's kind of hard to shave them anyway. But,
yeah,
you know, and make it look nice, honestly.
Yeah.
So
to be perfectly honest.
Yeah, and more for the thick coat.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people will do it because it really cuts back on the shedding. So maintenance, hygiene-wise, it might be a good solution.
Yeah.
As long as, again, you can keep them in a cool place with lots of shade or air conditioning or a basement, or, you know, definitely with a lot of water and sand. If you have any way of having a little kiddie pool or a sprinkler or something where they can at least get their feet wet, that can help a tremendous amount.
Mm-hmm. And just a little personal word of warning for shaving the dogs. Because Chewy, my shepherd mix, he's a big dog. He's about 85 pounds, and he's got like a dark, you know, peppery coat, but mostly dark. And his undercoat is creamy. And several years ago, one summer, I shaved him. And he's not, you know, he doesn't have long hair or anything, but there's another dog that kind of looks like him. And we just shaved him more for fun. And he turned from the dog who I had known for years with a dark coat to a dog that looked like a yellow lab.
Aww.
And I was freaked out for like a week because I just didn't recognize my own dog. So just a little heads up there. You might be shocked if you decide to shave your dog and then he turns out looking like another dog completely, because that happened to me.
Well, sometimes they get embarrassed too. When my dog was staying with a friend and he had a huge flea problem in his yard, so she kept itching, and so he had her shaved.
Yeah.
And when I went to go visit, she was terribly embarrassed, and I thought she didn't want to go home with me. I thought she wanted to stay with him. But when I went back to get her a few weeks later and her hair had grown out, she was completely happy to see me and definitely ready to go home. But she got really embarrassed.
So now, do you think that she was acting embarrassed because of the attention that people were giving her because she was shaved, or just because she knew she was shaved?
I think it felt funny to her, and she felt a little out of sorts. Maybe not embarrassment in the sense that we would think of, but she felt different.
Yeah.
And she maybe was not quite sure what to make of it. So her behavior was very different.
Yeah. I mean, it would kind of make sense, but that sort of is the question of, like, okay, are we
anthropomorphizing?
Exactly.
Right.
Or is she, you know, just reacting off of people being like, you look funny.
Sometimes that happens. But yeah, in this case, nobody was doing that to her.
Because I know I've seen dogs be embarrassed if they've, you know, tripped or done something kind of funny, and then the people think it's funny and laugh.
Right.
They're like, hey, it's not that funny, you know.
Right. You know? I had heard of a dog that was taken by a brat house, you know, a rivalry sort of thing, and they shaved the other house's beagle.
Mm.
And he was definitely embarrassed, and he ran away.
Aww.
And,
did they get him back?
No.
Aww.
Yeah, and, you know, I just, my dog has a few issues going on right now, so I did end up shaving her underside. In the past, when I've taken her to the groomer and they shaved her belly, she was always itchy and uncomfortable when they did that.
Mm-hmm.
But this time, she seems like it's a relief to her.
Hmm. Well, that's good.
So sometimes I think it's just getting used to it, or also whatever else is going on at the time, too, can make a big difference.
Yeah. Well, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we will talk about cooling techniques and also what not to do when trying to cool off your hot dog. We'll be back in just a few minutes with Dr. Darla Ruers. You're listening to The Dog Talk Show, an evolved perspective on life with dogs.
The Barking Lounge is Seattle's premier dog daycare and overnight boarding facility. With 24-hour supervision dedicated to the health and well-being of your pooch, it's no wonder why the Barking Lounge was voted best doggy daycare in Western Washington. New customers can mention this ad and receive a free temperament test and day of play care, a $44 value. Offer available for a limited time, valid for new customers only, and has no cash value.
This is Martha Norwalk. Every Sunday morning, beginning at 9 a.m., thanks in part to Jones & Company Pets in Marysville, we cover the world of animals. This week, it's Vet Sunday with Dr. Al Pluckner, author of Pets at Risk, From Allergies to Cancer, Remedies for an Unsuspected Epidemic, the Breakthrough Endocrine Immune Balance Program, and the Human Compendium of articles on the same subject. We'll take your phone calls and answer your animal or human medical care questions, plus a special book giveaway on Martha Norwalk's Animal World, Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
Hi, I'm Vicki St. Clair. I want to invite you to join me every Monday at noon for Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. We'll talk with innovative business leaders, medical and health professionals, authors, filmmakers, adventurers, and ordinary people leading extraordinary lives. Join me Mondays at noon for Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair.
Monday, August 3rd on Conversations Live, Deborah Gwartney is sharing her true story of a mother's frantic effort to recover her two daughters from harm's way.
Check out our guest schedule at conversationslive.net and join me Mondays at noon.
Commune with the Pop Oracle on the Radio 8 Ball Show. I'm Andras Jones, the host of the Radio 8 Ball Show, where we answer your questions by picking songs at random and interpreting them as the answers, like picking musical tarot cards. That's the Radio 8 Ball Show on Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Don't miss the Radio 8 Ball Show, now at its new time, Wednesdays at noon, here on Alternative Talk, 1150.
Get your dog to smile with treats good enough for people, but specially made for dogs. Introducing Bitolove, the treat that's made in the U.S. with USDA-inspected meat, without any artificial flavors, colors, or byproducts. It's guaranteed to make them smile. So the next time your four-legged family member comes walking through the doggy door after a hard day of chasing birds and digging holes, put a big smile on their face with some slow, roasted, mouth-watering Bitolove dog treats. And don't forget to stop by Bitolove.com to learn more about our variety of flavors.
Remember, you're listening to Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Welcome back to the Dog Talk Show. I'm your host, Julie Forbes. You're listening to Alternative Talk, 1150 AM radio. And we're back with Dr. Darla Ruers of Ancient Arts Veterinary Acupuncture here in Seattle in the Fremont neighborhood. Welcome back.
Hello.
Hello. So we've been talking about dogs and hot weather.
Yes.
And we've been talking a lot about, you know, how they regulate heat and insulation and all that kind of stuff. What are the signs of if a dog is, you know, definitely excessively hot or even in heat stroke, what should people look for?
Well, the one that everybody would recognize is excessive panting. And even when it's not hot, there's a lot of different reasons that dogs will pant. Mm-hmm. But when it is hot, of course, they're going to pant more to cool themselves. That's their primary way of doing so.
Mm-hmm.
And if they're panting a lot and you're noticing their tongue getting brighter and brighter, pink or red or even kind of purplish, and their gums are getting really dry, and they seem a little out of it, or they're even staggering, or they don't want to do much, mm-hmm. Those can be early symptoms. If it's getting bad enough where they are having electrolyte imbalances from dehydration, then you may notice them being really out of it or vomiting or loose stool. Then when it gets more severe, you can see collapse. They can lose consciousness. They can even have seizures. And if it's really bad, they can have intractable seizures, meaning repeated, and lose all ability to regulate their body temperature, and some of them will die from it. Mm. It doesn't take very long.
How long? Oh, I know that's, you know, when talking about not leaving dogs in cars, that it can take, you know, minutes to get to
120 degrees, yeah.
Even with the windows open.
Right, right.
Because if it's hot outside, it's not helping them out at all to leave the windows
open.
Right,
and they're in a little, you know, confined area. They can't turn on the air conditioning, you know.
Yep. And they're very limited to how well their bodies can keep up with the increasing internal temperature.
Exactly.
So how long, you know, I've heard it can only take minutes if a dog is in that kind of temperature mm-hmm. to, you know, cause irreparable brain damage.
Right, right. If they go up to... A normal body temperature for a dog is generally about 100 to 102, sometimes a little bit beyond either end of that.
Mm-hmm.
So if they get up 105, 106, that's getting pretty bad.
Mm-hmm.
I think when I saw a German Shepherd come in with heat stroke in Florida, he was already past 106.
Wow.
And that dog was seizuring and had been outside in a nice... fenced-in area, his kennel, but he managed to climb the fence. And just that little bit of exertion, he was probably out for an hour. But so by the time they found him, he had already been suffering for a while and had really exerted himself. And we stabilized him seizure-wise, but he did finally die. He was never normal. He had never regained normal consciousness again.
So what do you do if your dog is hot, if you've just gone out even for a short walk in intense heat? What are some good ways to cool them off, and then also some, you know, ways that people might think are good but aren't necessarily?
Right. You want nice, clean water for them and plenty of water for them to drink. Spritzing their feet with tepid water is really helpful. You wouldn't want to use really cold water because that can actually shunt blood away from their skin, which makes it harder for the heat transfer to happen to cool them down. So, for example, you wouldn't want to hose your dog down with cold water before you take him on a run. Because that can actually make more of the heat stay inside of the body.
And even not after the run either.
Right, just tepid water or letting them lie on a cool floor where it can slowly have the temperature exchange, where it's not a shocking temperature difference.
Yeah, and I've heard if a dog is in, having issues with heat, serious issues, that, you know, not to put them in like a bath of ice water because that can shock the system. And
definitely.
Then, yeah.
Yeah, cool water, especially on the feet and the undersides of the body.
Mm-hmm.
You can have them wetted down, you know, all over, but it seems to be more helpful on their feet and the undersides of their body. And then a fan, of course, to help with that heat transfer as well.
And what about on the underside of the ears?
You know, I hear a lot of people say that there's a lot of surface area, and the arteries and veins are really close to the surface there, so it makes sense that it would help. On some animals, like desert animals, fox, where they have really large ears, it does seem like the ears play like elephants do, that plays a big role in the temperature regulation.
Yeah, I know that in hot weather, hot climates, I think in fox, their ears are large, and then like in Arctic climates, they have tiny little ears.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or like the African elephants that are constantly waving their ears a little bit.
They're, yeah.
That's helping fan them, and with the temperature exchange between the blood and their little ear.
Mm-hmm. Now, what about drinking water? Should that be ice water?
Probably cool is better. Okay. Again, even too much cold into the stomach from a Chinese medicine perspective, but also from a physiological perspective, again, any cold, whether it's external temperature or something you're ingesting or putting water on them, it makes the blood vessels constrict, so they are getting smaller, which means not as much blood is going past.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not going to get as much temperature change. So cool or, just tepid water would be better.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of dogs certainly like to lick on ice cubes, and that can be a way of keeping water cool for a longer period of time.
Yeah.
But as far as if they're already feeling shocky, maybe not the best thing.
Mm.
As like you would think, you know.
Right.
It seems, like it would feel good, but maybe not the best idea if they're already having an issue with the temperature.
Yeah, like if they're already close to one extreme, don't go to the other to try to solve it. Yeah. And I think it's like shocking the body as well or something.
Right.
But some dogs really do like to eat ice cubes or popsicles. And now there's also, as far as Chinese medicine goes, cooling foods.
Yes.
So what are some of those nice summer cooling types of foods that we can feed our dogs in hot weather?
Okay, so think of watermelon.
Mm-hmm.
Think of the white part near the rind.
Yeah.
It's actually quite cooling. So you could mince up little pieces and give that to them, or even put it through a blender and make a little smoothie for them.
I want a watermelon smoothie.
I know, it sounds good, doesn't it?
Yeah.
You can use mung beans. Those are actually a cooling food, cooked, but, cooled down. That's a cooling food. When we think of different types of meat, some meats are more cooling energetically than others. So poultry is actually more warming.
Mm-hmm.
Lamb is very hot. Mm-hmm. So beef and venison, buffalo, the deep water fish, and believe it or not, duck are actually more cooling than chicken or turkey.
Mm-hmm. So those are good summertime foods, and
then
the more warming foods might be nice in the winter.
Right, or if they're having, if they're old and they're having a hard time staying warm, then they can use more of those warming foods than other dogs that are already kind of hot in nature.
Yeah.
And, goji berries are also cooling.
Yeah. Good.
Yeah, then a lot of them like little broth ice cubes, too. And that's a good trick for putting in a Kong toy or something. Use low sodium, low fat broth and put it in the freezer. And then that gives them something to work on for quite a while instead of just throwing in a little treat with them.
Yeah. I'll have to go home and hook my dogs up with all those kind of cooling treats and myself. Now, I also, too, wanted to mention, off the topic of heat, we only have a couple minutes left, but it's Sea Fair this weekend, and those blue, as beautiful as they are, those pesky blue angels are going to be practicing all week and freaking dogs out all over the city.
Oh, yeah.
So, and I had sent a client to you for some calming herbs for the 4th of July, which really, really helped. So
good. That's
a good thing people can get in touch with you. What's your phone number for people to call if they want to get some of those calming things if their dogs get nervous?
206-547-1025.
206-547-1025.
Yes.
And that's your office number, and
you
have some good calming herbs on hand that you can send people home with.
Right. Those are actually a good yin tonic also, meaning cooling for the body.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
There you go.
They don't gork them out or change their personality like sedatives do, but they are nice and calming.
Good. Well, thank you so much for being on the show again. It was very nice to have you here.
Well, thank you, Julie. I appreciate you having me.
Yeah. Stay cool.
You too.
All right. And we'll talk to you soon.
Okay. Take care.
Thanks. You too. All right, Dr. Darla Ruers with Ancient Arts Veterinary Acupuncture. And we are just coming up to the end of the show. Join us next week. We are having an interview with J. Nicole Smith of Dane and Dane Photography. Thank you for listening this week to the Dog Talk Show, an evolved perspective on life with dogs. Stay cool.